appreciate very much the presence of each one this morning. And for those who are visiting with us, we again want you to know that we are honored to have you in our company. It is my hope and prayer that the things we do this morning will be of some spiritual benefit to you. I think they will be if you will apply your heart, your attention to what we are doing. As always, I want to remind you that you have a responsibility to know truth. You have a responsibility for the things that you believe in and the way that you live your life. And so please take that seriously and apply yourself to knowing God's Word. We've been so blessed in this congregation. We've been blessed in many ways. As I look through the audience, I know that we have people visiting with us for the first time. I know that we have people who've been here two, three, four times before, maybe more. And, of course, I also know that we have faithful members, those who come when they can, every time they can, those who are active in the congregation. A little more than 4.5 years ago, we moved from the building located down Bandera inside Loop 410. And we made a move because, well, to be honest, we'd simply outgrown the building. And we knew that we would continue to grow if there was space. And so, concerned about church growth, we, of course, built this facility that we're in today, a place that will hold many more than the one down Bandera Road. When we made the move, we were averaging somewhere around 130, 135 a Sunday. And when we had 135 in this building, it was pretty full, and there would be times when we would have 145, 150, and it was packed. And we knew that there was just simply nothing we could do to grow if we didn't do something with the facility. Since we've been in this building over the last few months, from January, the first part of January this year until present, we've averaged 202 in attendance. And again, a lot of that, our own members, of course, but also blessed to have visitors. And we certainly want numeric growth. We want people to come and to be a part of this congregation. It also seems that there may be some places where numbers is all important, where we are concerned more about just filling up the space than we are anything else. And we live in a time when there are mega churches. Now, people define a mega church in different ways, but basically around 2,000 in attendance on any given week will grant you the status of a mega church. And I looked at various mega churches throughout Texas, throughout Central Texas, Austin, San Antonio, into East Texas, Houston, and there are literally dozens of mega churches. And you know many of them, the Lakewood Church, the Cornerstone Church here in San Antonio, Second Baptist Church in Houston. If you go in on I-10, you'll see their great complex there on the right. And then the Community Bible Church here in San Antonio as well. The Lakewood Church is known as the largest congregation in the United States, averaging more than 43,500 per week in attendance. That's mind-boggling to think that there are that many people who go to this place, the various meeting times that they have. They don't all assemble together. But again, there's nothing wrong with the idea of wanting to fill up a building. But if the focus is simply on numbers, if that's the emphasis, And the keys that we use to try to grow, again, emphasize numerical growth. The idea that bigger is better. Quite often what we will do then is we will look to secular means as growing the church numerically. Quite often the approach is shallow. It's empty. We want people in at all cost, at any cost. And so the approach is quite often patterned after social and our earthly successes. In other words, what will grow this institution, this organization, religious or not, maybe it will help us to grow. And so we focus on these kinds of things just to grow the numbers. What I am interested in is the kind of growth the Lord wants. What does He want? And again, I can assure you the Lord is not interested in how many members attend this or that local church. In the book of Acts chapter 2, the passage read a moment ago, in verse 42 through verse 47, we note 3,000 people obeyed the gospel. And we also note that the Lord was adding to the church daily those who were being saved. And then we come over to Acts 3 and 4, and we note 5,000 men respond to the gospel. We're not given a total number there, 5,000 men, so we often assume that it had to be at least 10,000 on that occasion. And so the local church, it was the only church at the time, but the local church there in Jerusalem, it was growing by leaps and bounds. A great number of people became a part of this congregation. But at the same time, we also read about what had to be smaller congregations. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19, we read about the church that was in the house of Aquila and Priscilla. And then in Colossians 4, verse 15, we read about a church in the house of a man named Nymphas. And there are other passages that talk about churches in homes. And so we I think, would be safe in saying that these had to be smaller than the one there in Jerusalem at the beginning of the gospel and the beginning of the Lord's kingdom. And again, let me say, the Lord is not so much concerned about how many people are in any given local congregation. I would also tell you that the Lord is the one who takes care of the numbers anyway. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for He has glorified you. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. And if you go on and read in this passage, you'll find that it's clearly talking about Jesus Christ and His kingdom. And the fact that people would come, not just the Jews, but now the Gentiles. But I want you to listen to what he says a little bit later in the context. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Clearly, God's word is going to do exactly what he intends for it to do. The word of God is the power to salvation, Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. The Word of God reveals God's message to us. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 through verse 9, Paul had been talking about some divisive issues in the local church. And really, it goes back to what he says in chapter 1 with regard to himself and to Cephas or Peter and to Apollos. But here, he talks only about himself and Apollos. And they were divided. Members in that congregation were giving their allegiance to certain men and choosing one man over another. And so Paul refers to them earlier in the chapter as being carnally minded. But now listen to what he says in verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? In other words, each of us, Paul and Apollos, we simply did as the Lord provided. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. And so he makes the point, makes no difference who does the planting, the watering. If people are doing what they can do, if people are being used as God's workers, if they are out preaching the gospel, then God is going to reward them. But understand, again, it's God who gives the increase. The word being spoken by the Apostle Paul as he planted was the word given to him by the Holy Spirit. The words used by Apollos as he watered were the words given by the Holy Spirit. And so they were simply doing their part in trying to grow the church, if you will, in trying to increase the population of God's family. And so numbers, for the sake of numbers, are irrelevant. Some even arbitrarily disparage small churches. I've heard people say, well, if this congregation hasn't grown in 10 years, then there's something wrong. And there may be something wrong. Don't misunderstand. It's very possible that whether you are in a large congregation, a small congregation, or one in between, it's possible for the congregation itself, at least people in the congregation, to become apathetic, to become lazy, and not do what God wants them to do. No doubt about it. But again, I'm reminded of the churches that assembled in the homes or the houses of some of the early Christians. Again, I doubt that they could have been very big. A small church, if it's doing the Lord's work, if the members are out and they are teaching, and they are encouraging, and they're trying to reach the lost, if they're inviting their friends, and growth is not what they would like, then how darest blame them for man's rejection of God's word? The truth is, the vast majority of people have always rejected God's word. What is our part in growing the church? Well, we mentioned the fact that it was Paul who planted. In Acts chapter 18, verse 1 through verse 18, we read there about the Apostle Paul going to the church there at Corinth. And we read that he remained there for about a year and a half, preaching the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, Paul says, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, and I would assume Apollos would fall into that category, yet you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. In other words, he's the one who planted. But we also read in Acts chapter 18, verse 24 through verse 28, that Apollos was there later on, and he was taught the word of God more perfectly, more accurately, by Aquila and Priscilla. And we know that Apollos spent time there in Corinth. And so clearly, he was doing some watering after Paul had planted, after Paul had left. And when we look in the book of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through verse 20, what we find is the responsibility to take the gospel to all the world, to make disciples of them, teaching them. We also find that in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And so that's what we are to do. We are to take the gospel. We want the church to grow, numerically, yes. And one way we do that is by getting the word out to people. We need to convert people. Again, we've been blessed. We've had many conversions. Many people respond to the gospel. People who had been touched by the words of a faithful Christian who sat down and spoke with them, talked with them, studied with them, and convinced them the truth of God's word. And they responded. We've also been blessed, of course, by our young people who've grown up and made the decision to obey the gospel. And so we've been blessed in many ways, but we've got to get the gospel out there. You see, the purpose is not so much numbers and keeping up with numbers. The purpose is we want to save as many people as we can possibly save. And we also understand that sometimes people will not listen. They will not pay attention. They will not pay heed. Going back to Acts chapter 18. In that same context that Paul was preaching to the church at Corinth. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. For now I will go to the Gentiles." In other words, these Jews who were rejecting him, opposing him, he says, "I'm going to leave you alone." Remember, Jesus told the disciples in the limited commission that if they were rejected, they were to shake off the dust from their feet and they were to move on. They were to go on. Yes, there'll be times when people will not listen. And when they won't, we just simply move on to the next and to the next. I'm also reminded of what was said by the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 3, verse 17, as God was speaking to him, as God was encouraging him, get the message out. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word from my mouth and give them warning from me. We've got to be able and courageous enough to get the warning out. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Remember Paul said earlier, I am innocent, your blood be on you, I am clean. Why was that? Listen to the next verse. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Paul did exactly that. Paul made sure that he got the message out there. We need to grow spiritually. When we talk about the church growing and we talk about reaching out to the lost, the best way to do that is for all of us as members to have the knowledge, the understanding, to be able to take the message. I understand that we're not all at the same point of maturation, the same point of growth. But it doesn't take very long to get to a point where we can at least speak to someone initially, introduce them to the gospel, and then perhaps seek out those who are more capable. all the while trying to grow ourselves, all the while trying to get to that point where we can take the gospel. In Ephesians 4, verse 11 through verse 24, mentioned that there are apostles, there are prophets, there are evangelists and pastors and teachers. And all of this was provided by God to be able to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to edify the body of Christ. All of this was done that we might come to unity and understanding. All of this was done so that we might reach out to those who are lost, that we might put aside the things of old in our life and seek that which is right. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 2, following the end there in chapter 5, where he rebukes them because they had not become teachers. They had time to, they had opportunity to, but they had not become teachers. And they weren't growing spiritually. And so in verse 1 of chapter 6, following that, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. In other words, go on beyond these basic principles. Strong Christians facilitate local church growth so that we can reach our numeric potential, so that we can reach as many people as possible. This congregation seeks actively to teach and to train and to encourage people to teach. We want as many qualified teachers to be able to go into the classrooms and to conduct a class of instruction for our young people. We want as many men as possible who can teach an adult class in the auditorium and in the back. We want as many men as possible who can stand up and preach a gospel lesson. We have 20-plus men in this congregation who are willing to do this. And we schedule throughout the year, 2 to 3 times a month on Sunday night, we try to have our men do these things, those who want to do these things. And we try to provide the instruction, the training that is necessary to get people to that point, as we do for all of our members, to get to a point where we can go out and we can talk to people. And so we need to grow strong. And we need to continue that process. We have a good number here this morning. I don't know exactly the number. I would guess in the neighborhood of 200, maybe a little bit more. But we don't want to have numbers just for the sake of looking out and seeing how full the auditorium is. We want numbers of people who are faithful to God, of people who are committed to serving God and doing all that they can do to be a part of this local family. We are a local family. And that is exactly the way we need to act and react. We are a local family. We may have some we are closer to than others. We may have some that we enjoy hanging out with. We enjoy going to their home. They enjoy coming to our home. But we understand that we're family. And we understand that the idea of hospitality is more than just the inner circle, so to speak. Listen, Jesus had an inner circle of friends. And clearly, as you read through the gospel, he did a little more with them, at least from what we have recorded, than he did with some of the others. They were there in the Garden of Gethsemane. They were there at the Mount of Transfiguration. We understand that. But as a family, our interest needs to be in each other. And we need to strive for that kind of spiritual growth. And tonight, I'm going to talk about some attitudes, some qualities that will help us to get there, that will help us to continue, because I think the church here has done fairly well. We're not perfect. And when we have, you know, visitors come in, I think many try to get out and try to meet them. And so I'm not suggesting that we are failing at this, but I am suggesting that there's room always to do a little bit better. I am suggesting that at least for some, maybe we need to do a lot better. Because again, we are God's family. And if we just keep in mind certain attitudes and principles, I think that these things, if we can increase them, if we can grow in them, they will help us to be a facilitator of growth that our Lord and Savior wants. Now, if you're not a Christian this morning, I want you to understand your condition. If you're at the age of accountability, you've sinned against God. As a sinner, you are separated from God. As a sinner, you're outside of God's grace. You're not taking advantage of His grace. But God gives you a way to correct that. You simply believe on Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You turn your heart to Him in repentance. You confess your faith, and then you are immersed in water for the remission of your sins. That puts you into Christ. That puts you into His family. And then from that moment on, it is a life of growth, a life of work, of effort. If as a child of God, maybe you've forgotten some of this, and maybe you're not as strong as you should be. We want you to grow. We want you to be as strong as you possibly can be as a Christian. And so we would encourage you, ask God's forgiveness. Turn away from whatever sin is in your life. If you need to respond, do so as together we stand and sing.